Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the MetaCafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is going to be a highly energetic week and one that you're going to want to know what kind of waters you're swimming in before you swim in them. All right, so let's get started. Let's say good morning, Dion. Good morning to you. She says, thank you. Your guidance would be immensely helpful this morning. Ashley, good morning. So much for a nice, calm, easy weekend. Weekend from hell, but you were moving, if I'm not mistaken. And so, no matter how you slice it, moving is never necessarily fun. But for me, I had a wonderful weekend. I hope most of you had a wonderful weekend. It was beautiful weather here in the Pacific Northwest. And I got some work done. I chilled. I just had a wonderful evening last night. It was just a great weekend for me. Ashley, I'm so sorry for you. Hopefully you are now settled in your new place. Hopefully you are done with the move, other than unpacking maybe, and things will settle down for you. Good morning, Linda. Good morning, Colleen. It's great to see you ladies out there. Dion, if you would like to tell me what you might need guidance on, you can type that into the chat, then we can talk about that. Mimi, good morning to you. And I'm happy that all of you are joining us. Nice scarf. Yes, this wonderful person I know sent this to me. It's beautiful. I always look for reasons to wear it too, Mimi. It's like this morning I thought, I'm going to wear black. Oh, I'm going to wear that scarf. So there we have it. Good morning, Elisa and Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel. Good morning. And Camille, yay, you're here with us this morning. So great to see all of you. And most of you seem pretty chipper. I love that. Let's get down to what is going on for the week. So I got to laugh at myself, you guys. Good morning, Jacqueline Tyler. Good to see you. I'm a Gemini, and Mercury is my ruling planet. Mercury is slowing down to turn retrograde next week, or this week, actually, at the end of the week, so Sunday. And so this morning I get up, I'm early, right? I wake up and I'm just bebopping around. I sit down, I figure out what it is we're going to do this morning, and I set it all up. And then I come back after I get dressed and put my makeup on, and my broadcast has been canceled by Facebook. I'm like, what? I set the stupid thing up for 7 a.m. instead of 8 a.m. And if you don't get there within 10 minutes, then Facebook cancels your broadcast. So I started chuckling at myself already. Here we go. Mercury retrograde fun, right? Totally was half asleep was I and while I was typing everything in and just didn't notice. I did notice because when I looked at it, I went, oh, 7 a.m. I just remember thinking that to myself, oh, that means I'm early this morning. And I looked at my clock and it was like 6:30. I was like, oh, great. It didn't occur to me that I wasn't looking at what time I could broadcast. I was looking at what time I'd actually set it. And so funny. So watch what you're doing today and all of the rest of the week so that everything goes as planned for you, right? Because some days things just don't work out. And if you are sort of nodded off, I thought I was wide awake. Maybe I really wasn't. And so just pay attention today. Let's see. Camille, Debbie. Okay, Jacqueline, good morning. She said everyone missed all of you just getting back online. She's got a new iPhone. Yay, good for you. Good morning, Patricia. Ashley says her mother had an emergency appendectomy. I had almost no help. I'm staying in a pet-friendly extended stay because I have had a hard time rehoming my two dogs and cat. The list goes on. Wow, Diane Pegram, good morning. Ashley, one step at a time. Right. That's the best thing I can tell you right now is one step at a time and breathe. Today is called listening in the Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology. We'll talk a bit more about that, but that is about being still and getting quiet so that you can hear the voice of spirit, the voice of wisdom, and what it is that you need to do. So, an emergency appendectomy, well, I'm sorry that that happened to her, but of all the things that could be an emergency, that's one of the lesser disastrous things. And we send a bunch of healing energy to your mom and love energy to you to help you get through these next couple of days or weeks, perhaps, as you struggle to find a new home and do the things that you need to do. So we have total, complete, utter compassion and empathy for you. We've all been there, no doubt, in a place that just seems like the things are piling on, one on top of the other. And I can tell you from the voice of experience, the best way to do it is make a plan and stick to the plan if you can, right? Just take one piece at a time. Otherwise, it gets too overwhelming when you're trying to work with too many things at one time. So what's the most important thing that you need to get done today and work on that? One at a time. All right, so today the moon is in Gemini, and it will be until 6:25 this evening, where it moves out of Gemini and into Cancer. That is going to add some emotion to the week. And anytime the moon is in Cancer, of course, that puts it in opposition to those planets in Capricorn and squaring anything in Aries and Libra, as we've been talking about. And of course, we know this is also the run-up to the new moon, which is tomorrow afternoon. And I want to say it was at noon my time, 12:17 p.m. my time. So what is that, 3 p.m., 3:17 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. So we are in the waning moon. So some of you may be feeling very tired, very wrung out, just sort of, right, dropping into that dark of the moon space. And the dark of the moon is where really all of the energy is waning out of the previous 28-day cycle of that moon, and in preparation for the new moon, which occurs tomorrow. And that new moon also happens to be a solar eclipse. So for some of you who have had these heightened experiences over the last weekend or over the last few days, you know, usually with an eclipse, it's about a week coming, the week of just the actual eclipse, and then the week after is where it is the most intense. And for some of you, obviously, that's what's been happening for you, as things can be pretty intense. And then the new moon comes along and breaks the spell and opens up new pathways. So I totally, fully expect that things will change here as we move on into the week. So the moon is also void of course today. Remember, a void of course moon happens when the moon makes its last contact before changing signs. It is making the last contact today with a conjunction to the planet Venus. And then from 2:49 p.m. my time to 6:25 p.m. my time, it will be void of course. So from 5:49 to 9:25 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. And what a wonderful time to have that, right? It's the waning part of the day. We didn't start the day with the void of course, which it seems like for the last several Mondays we have been. We actually are, we have energy to move through the day. The end of the day, of course, things quiet down in preparation for our new moon coming tomorrow. So if we take a look then at the overall energy for the week, we see today the moon, or besides the moon slowing down, preparing for its new phase, we also have Mars moving into Leo today. And that takes, you know, sometimes a planet, when it first moves into a new sign, kind of exaggerates the energy potential of that sign. So Leo does things in big ways. It's dramatic, it's traumatic at times, and it gives you that opportunity to connect with something bigger. But sometimes what you see at first is just the drama of what it is that you're experiencing. And Mars moves into Leo this afternoon at 4:20 p.m. And I didn't make that up. That is the time that it moves in there at Pacific Daylight Time, 7:20 tonight, for those of you in the East Coast. So, and that puts Mars then at the 29th degree of Cancer, a place where we know he is not happy. A 29th degree is a karmic degree, and it's giving us a time to relook at our lives about and arrange ourselves around compassion and empathy, to tap into your inner knowing and to emotionally connect. Now, for example, Ashley, you shared all these things that are happening for you, I'm sure, are huge triggers for emotions within you. And taking a look at what is it that you are emotionally going through, being willing to be there in that emotion, not to try to push it away, not to try to not feel it, because if you do that, it's just going to last longer and it's going to get bigger. because that is what the universe is requiring of us, at least at this moment, is our connection, deeper connection. What have we learned while Mars has been in Cancer, right? What actions have we been able to take? What ones haven't we been able to take? Where have we been too protective of ourselves or our time or our energy, and that has shut things down? Or where have we not been protective enough? So we get to go through a whole bunch of different things about, in retrospect, over the previous, since early mid-May, I think it was May 15th, when Mars first moved into Cancer. And what has that brought for us, right? You might as well look backwards a little bit and see, you know, Cancer is an interesting sign because it is ruled by the moon, right? The moon. So it's our soul. It is our inner world. It is our emotional world. And with Mars, their action principle, that was Mars is warrior energy. So while Mars was in Cancer, we had warrior energy in emotional energy. What does that make for? Well, possible explosions of emotion or things that happen that, you know, create more emotion. Steam, right? The steam, you put fire in water and you get steam. So we've had this steamy time and it's about to change as Mars moves into Leo. It's a fire sign. It is a fellow sign. It is all about creative energy, passion and romance and love come into the game. A little element of risk taking, right? Putting your butt out there on the line just a bit to express yourself completely from the heart. And that is, we are shifting then from the emotional energy to the heart-centered energy. Heart-centered energy is creative. It is desire. It is love energy. It is energy that is much more about who do we want to be and what do I want to express? What's the truth of what it is I want to express, as opposed to the more moodiness that Mars brought us in Cancer. So I hope all that's making sense for everybody, right? Also this week, the new moon eclipse, of course, tomorrow, that is at 10 degrees of Cancer. Wherever that is in your chart is where you have this opportunity for something new to join up with you and for you to make movement forward. And it may take some time to build that up, but this is a much longer effect than just the new moon energy because it's the solar eclipse. And the eclipse takes probably 6 months of different times of expressing. It may pop up into your field over the next 6 months. So then the day after the new moon, we have Venus moving into Cancer. So Mars, the masculine principle, moves out of Cancer, and then Venus, the feminine principle, moves into Cancer. But Venus in Cancer is much more comfortable than Mars is in Cancer, right? Venus in Cancer takes on a more feminine, protective, emotionally connected energy. And so for the next couple of weeks, while she's sitting in Cancer, we really do connect with the energy of one another and protecting one another and taking care of one another, feeding, clothing, nurturing, teaching, taking care of. All of those energies come up in our relationships. Our values may reflect that over the next couple of weeks. And also our money may reflect that. Maybe you're feeling more like, in fact, to me, this is a great time for us to take another look at our budgets and our spending and our income. And are we in alignment with where sustainability is? Are we in alignment with good stewardship of our money? This might be a great time to pay off some debt, right? That Venus in Cancer is much more able to see what can be cut out versus what you need to keep. So we have money effects, relationship effects, and our values. And are we in resonance with that? So are we spending where we want to spend, or are we spending where we think we have to, right? I mean, beyond spending for your bills and things like that. So interesting time that we're moving into with that. Now, it is only in Cancer until the 27th of July, then it will move into Leo. So you have these next few weeks to be able to work through the financial values and the relationships. Then, of course, on Sunday, the 7th, Mercury turns retrograde in Leo, but will move his way backwards into Cancer. So we're not yet done with the Cancer or with the Leo energy. Of course, we haven't even gotten the Sun into Leo yet. The Sun is just barely into Cancer right now. So something interesting happens when you have all of this energy, Mercury going retrograde, the eclipse patterns, and Venus moving into Cancer and Mars moving into Leo. Those two signs, Cancer and Leo, are the ruling hosts of the luminaries, the sun and the moon, the two bodies that affect human beings the most, right? The moon, your soul, your emotions, your inner world, and the sun, your outer world, your ego, your personality. So these two things are the parts of your life that you really need to look into deeper, right? Am I doing what I'm meant to be doing? Do I love what I'm doing? Do I love who I'm being? Am I doing what my heart wants me to do, or am I still stuck back in some old record or in some old dialogue about what I think I can or can't do? So these two luminaries, the sun and the moon ruling, the sun ruling Leo, the moon ruling Cancer, hold sway for us for the next several weeks, at least the next 2 months, actually all of July and into August a bit, as Mercury doesn't even complete her retro his retrograde until August 14th. So for the foreseeable future, it is, are we following the voice of our inner world, and are we expressing ourselves in the outer world in the way that we really wanted to, or are we doing what we think we have to? So great stuff, right? Good morning, Jana. Hope you're doing well. Yes, this new moon is taking place over my north node. Woohoo! Feeling inspired with birthing new projects. Very nice. Allison, good morning to you. Cassildra, good morning to you. Irina, good morning. And Diane says she was exhausted last night, but she couldn't stay awake. Very strange for me. You're obviously running a lot of energy, Diane, as we all are in some way. Irina says the eclipse sits on the cusp of my eighth house, 10 degrees Cancer, plus opposes my sun in Sagittarius 13. I'm a bit worried. You have nothing to be worried about. Eclipse, this is a solar eclipse. The solar eclipse opens up doorways. Think of this as, did I tell you guys this on Friday? I think of this particular eclipse, almost all eclipses actually, I think of them as tunnels rather than just a portal. Right. So you've all seen, the train tunnels or tunnels over the road that are long, but also ones that are short. Well, this is, think of this as a shorter tunnel that you're moving through. And for a minute, you're in the dark, right? If you had no lights in a tunnel, it's much dimmed. It's in the shadow. It's darker. You come from the light into the shadow and you emerge back out into the light. Does that make sense? Right. So for a time being, things may feel a little like unclear or scattered, even where you're not quite sure, should I land on this foot? Should I land on that foot? And for someone like Jana, with this on top of her destiny, all systems go for her, for you, Jana. I mean, this is great, right? Your destiny. How often does that happen? Rarely. Rarely does the eclipse actually happen on top of someone's own north node, which shows you the path forward. So for you, the tunnel opens from, maybe what you're doing is creating a new way of expressing yourself out into the world. And it has the feeling of long lasting, right? A destiny return like that, or a destiny eclipse, is really about an 18-year cycle for you that is being enacted, right? So hopefully you're out there in the world for another 18 and a half years or so doing the work you love, and something new will be characterizing that while you're moving into that. Irina, yours is a little bit different, right? The eighth house cusp recognizes the need for change, for transformation. And at 10 degrees Cancer, maybe you've been too protective. Maybe you've been holding yourself back. Maybe you've been taking these, how the crab takes the sideways path. Maybe you've been taking too much of the sideways path, and it's time to start moving a little bit more head on. And let's see, you're worried. Why? Because the sun is in Sag 13. You really don't have anything to be worried about. Nothing. Maybe the worry, seek the source of the worry. What's going on around you that you're worried about? The eighth house rules other people's money. That could mean you receiving money from sources that you didn't expect. It could be you paying down debt and increasing your credit. It could be lottery winnings. It could be money from a spouse or a significant other that increases, that comes to you. It could be about death and rebirth, right? It's all about, the eighth house is all about death and rebirth. What's changing? It's rarely, if ever, an actual death. But if there's somebody in your life whose resonance is with you at that 10 degree mark, it could mean somebody passing away. But that's not anything to be afraid of either. So don't worry. Exactly what you're worrying about, you're actually energizing to you. So be calm and cool and ask, go within. This is a great day, by the way. I'm going to switch over in a moment to the Pleiadian Earth energy because I think it's going to be hugely helpful here. Good morning, Vanita. Good to see you. Jana, that's exactly what I'm doing, really activating some big projects, so many ideas. This is also in my 11th house. Ooh, new people, right? A new group, maybe, a new community, new work with a community. So perfect for you. So let's take a look then at the Pleiadian Earth energy because it is so remarkable to me how this seems to follow everything that we need to do. And for those of you who are new and haven't been here before, we're following the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar. This is what she looks like for 2019. And it was written by Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith. And there, it's very much like the Mayan calendar in that, well, in fact, the Mayans say that they received their knowledge from star people. What do you want to make a bet? It was the Pleiadians that they received that information from. And now we're being gifted with the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar. So we have two things that make up the day. We have the number, in this case, 8 today, which makes up the universal energy. So no matter where you are in the universe, this is the number that you're resonant with today. Life is resonating with the number 8 today. And the earth energy is listening. So for all of life here on this blue planet, we are resonant with the energy of listening. And in the Mayan calendar, for those of you who know your own Mayan astrology sign, this is the energy of Akbal, which in most of the interpretations of this is the night. That's would be the English expression of the word Akbal, night or the dark. So we're connecting today. 8 universal energy is about connecting. It is about community. It is about abundance. And most of all, the 8 energy is love energy. So the bigger love energy. And connecting to what you love, who you love, what you love to do, and bringing more of that in, right? Now, the listening side, the earth energy side, can speak to trouble in the world, right? It can speak to trouble in your life. And it can be secrets that are revealed. So that would be interesting to see what happens as we look out into the news feeds today and see what happens. But I don't want people getting caught up in that because the whole purpose of listening energy is to slow down so that we can connect to the universe within and the wider universe outside of us. It is our opportunity to hear the voice of spirit before we take our next steps. So, for Ashley, for you, even Jana, and anybody else who's struggling with anything, sit down, go within, and hear, listen. Listen to the voice of spirit before you take your next steps. That is what you can do here today, hearing the voice of spirit to engage your next steps rather than feeling like you're all alone. And that you have to make this decision in this moment. Stop, move within, and listen deeper, right? Listen, or maybe listen broader and listen deeper within. Okay, that's your path today. And listening energy is it's there to help you decide what to do next. You're not alone. You don't have to make these decisions next steps on your own. You're never alone. You have your own guidance system and use that today. Some of you really seem to need that. Good morning, Colleen. She says, I'm a wreck about the eclipse, Jupiter 12th house, but it's the anniversary of my baby having no heartbeat. She was delivered July 6th. It was 18 years ago. So I'm not sure why the idea of the eclipse is giving me heightened anxiety. Body memory, cellular memory, right? Your body's remembering. Your body's remembering the anxiety, perhaps, of the birth, of what happened after the birth. And the fact that we're talking about these different transits and it's a highly energetic week also stimulates for us those nerves, right? Our nerves are on edge. Some of you's nerves are on edge. Some of you are in anxiety. Some of you are in worry. But I'm going to tell you to focus your energy elsewhere. Focus your mind and your heart on something else. Do it, right? Jupiter in the 12th house, I don't know why you're worried about that one. Jupiter in the 12th house to me is that hidden master, the master that's waiting and ready to break out. Whenever I see Jupiter in the 12th house of somebody, I think of someone who's been persecuted in past lives or perhaps even in this life when they dared to stand up and count themselves out there in the world in their truth. But that is exactly what you must do. It simply says you've got to come out of hiding, right? You got to come out of hiding. And so it's nothing to be anxious about. You're not going to get hung, drowned, or burned at the stake in this lifetime, drawn and quartered in this lifetime for stating your beliefs and living from your higher spiritual truths. Just not true in this lifetime. And cellular memory is just that. It's a memory. There's no life in it. There's no breath in it. We only breathe and live in the moment. So bring yourself to the now. What does it mean in the now? You just said she's eight, your daughter, your baby, I don't know if it was a girl or boy, is 18 and obviously living and breathing and doing quite well. So value that, focus on that and let the anxiety go. Recognize it, right? Your body's hugely important in feeding you information. And maybe the information it's feeding you is maybe some decisions that you've made in your life were about that experience that you had with a baby and no heartbeat. Who knows, right? I don't know that personally for you, Colleen, but look deeper into that and see and release the energy of being a wreck about the eclipse. This one is not the one I would worry about. The next one is definitely a wider world shaking, wider world, possibly shattering sort of eclipse, not this one. And I just don't see anything to worry about in this one. It is definitely energetic, so it could be shaking you up, right? It can be shaking you up, but it's not shaking you up for any reason except love, right? Love energy, the connecting. We have to get to a point where we are clearing all of that old stuff. If we don't, then when we get to the tougher times, as we've talked about for 2020 and into early 2021, late this year, all of 2020 and into 2021. So what is that? Like maybe 15 to 18 months worth of, you know, tension and stress energy over that period of time. If you're already resonating with that anxiety and you're not clearing out your own stuff, those energies are going to be very difficult for you. So you're getting a run up to clearing this stuff so that you can be your bright, shiny self in the next several months. Camille says, Jupiter is generally a good planet. Like you say, a master, transcend the past, move to the future, be in the present to allow the flow. Woohoo! Jupiter is often beneficent. Almost always. We express it when we're doing readings. We always talk about it in its highest and best. But let me tell you something about Jupiter. Jupiter is also one that will show you where you're out of resonance with that goodness, with that beneficent energy. So, for example, if you're Jupiter in the 12th house for you, Colleen, specifically, if your Jupiter in the 12th house is, it may be showing you right now where you're out of alignment with that kind of mastery, that spiritual mastery, right? Where are you out of alignment with that? It'll show you that first. And then when you adopt principles that are going to pull you out of that, that release you from that prison, that release that master from her prison there, then Jupiter's beneficence kicks in. So sometimes we experience the more, so it calls it to your attention, right? That the more negative, if you will, experience first, and then you get the bigger benefit of Jupiter's transit through your sign. I hope that makes sense, right? Jupiter likes to play the good role. It likes to play the growth card. It loves abundance and it loves to be optimistic. It likes the bigger picture. But if you've been playing too small or playing in the smaller end of the spectrum that it can express, then it's going to call you out on that first, so that then you can turn and go in the new direction. All right, how's everybody doing with this energy so far, or with this information so far? Is everybody in resonance with it? No. Jupiter. Yep, good. So everybody seems to be doing okay with this. If you have another question or if another issue pops up, type it in there. I'm going to go on to the human design of the week because here's where we see the potential for what some of you are experiencing. For example, Ashley, and maybe even you, Colleen, and maybe others of you who haven't checked in and said anything. Londa, hello from Provo, Utah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I hope you're having a great trip. And thank you for taking your time today to join us. That's awesome. Camille, as in the Eight of Swords, a self-imposed prison, let go. Oh, hell yes. That's perfect, right? The 12th house are self-imposed prisons. My sun is there. My Mercury is there. I have struggled forever with this energy of hidden sun and hidden voice, right? It's my human design has an open throat, so I need to be invited in to be able to speak. And so it's always been, me sort of staying hidden. And it can be shy energy, it can be, peeking out and then back into hiding, triggered by emotions, because my, it's I'm familiar with that 12th house. Trust me when I say it is a place of your own self undoing. In fact, some astrologers call the 12th house the house of self undoing, because what you see is that you have to move through the prisons that you've created for yourself from your beliefs, from past experiences. Self-sabotaging behavior comes in here. Limits, literally, some people end up in prison. In a real prison as a way to see the outer world, because they're not really, looking inward to see where they've held themselves in prison. So it's a good house for us to take a look at during this eclipse, because suddenly the light can be shined on the more inner world. Remember, an eclipse, what's being eclipsed is the sun, and that leaves us open to being able to see clearer into the soul, into our inner world. So that bodes well for those of you who have any 12th house things coming up right now. You're seeing the light, right? The light of your soul, the light of the inner workings here, the light of your psychology or of your subconscious mind. It's good stuff. Don't be fearful, right? It's coming up for a reason. Ask the universe to show you the reason why this is in your life right now. And what can I do about it? What's the best way for me to engage this energy, to work with this energy? That's how you can use this. That makes a lot of sense, Colleen says, and it's calming. I got the download. It is about birthing. Even dead babies need to be born, a stillbirth. Wow. Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. I don't even, yeah. Sit with that one, Colleen. Sit with that one. Londa says they're in the car on the way to Moab. I know that was your final destination, wasn't it? So enjoy your day. I'm sure it's beautiful. Okay, so let me switch over here to the human design aspects that come into play tomorrow. Today, we're still at the gate of joy and the gate of stillness. This is a superb day to go within. Right, to take some time to do some deep study, to do some meditation, to work with the dark of the moon energy. Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow we burst out into the world with the sun at the gate 39, provocation, and the earth at the gate 38, fight. And that gives us that, to me, it's like an injection of energy. Of persistence, of what's, there's another word I'm trying to think of here, of the gumption to get something done, to work through something, to let something go. So today we may be in a little bit more of the poor me space, where tomorrow we are tigers, right? We're out of we're out of the cage and we're raring to go and we're moving forward. We are adopting more of a devil may care sort of attitude. So on one hand, this is superb energy for getting for moving forward, right? Getting out of your own way. And on the other hand, it can be our taking a few more risks than what we would normally take. So we want to work in balance with this energy. So the gate 39 sits, let me show you in a human design chart. I pulled one, but it's on my printer. So let's do this one. So the gate 39, let me circle it here for you all to see, is on the root center. And the gate 38 is also on the root center. So I circled them. They're down here. So the root center is impulse energy, right? This is the energy to get out and do. So we just had the earth at the gate 58, and now she'll move to the gate 38. Here it was about our foundation in joy. And here is our energy in the foundation of fighting for something, fighting for what's right. The sun has been at gate 52 up here, which is the gate of stillness and restraint, and now moves to the gate 39, which is the gate of provocation. And it's moving energy upward toward the solar plexus, and it meets up with the solar plexus at gate 55. So for any of you who have a hanging gate 55, you now have the entire channel of abundance through spirit, of emotional maturity defined. And for those of you who have that, then this becomes a week where you really can see how to use your emotional energy to tell you where you are in life. Am I in the wrong direction or am I headed in the right direction? And that's all based on what I feel, how I feel. What are my emotions telling me? Does this feel good? Does this feel correct? Is this true for me? Does this make me happy? Does this bring me joy? All of those kinds of questions are, and ask in that way, where there's an easy yes or no answer to it, are the questions that you may want to engage with yourself as you move through and or into and through this coming week. Now, the gate 38 earth at the gate of fight. This is, you've heard the saying, pick your battles or choose your battles wisely, because here is the energy for fighting for something that's worth fighting for. You know, sometimes I think, when people are polarized, and you know how this nation right now, we just can't seem to get away from the polarization between Congress, between parties, between, I don't know, masculine and feminine. There's a lot of that polarizing energy there. And the answer to that polarizing energy is, what are we really fighting for? Are we fighting for equality? If so, let's call it that. And let's move forward with that. Are we fighting for our values, our common core values? If so, let's call it that, as opposed to bickering and fighting. And it opens the way then for a conversation, as opposed to the continued polarization and fighting. Okay, little messenger bug. Go, 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 go. It's a moth. So lots of things for us to think about here as the earth then begins to trigger this energy of fight. And the earth and sun have an interesting conversation that goes on. The sun is the light of our egos, the light of our identities. The earth is where we've got our feet planted. It is what we call home. And so there's a challenge almost laid down between the sun and the earth. So the earth says challenged, the earth is challenging us to evolve from the energy of the sun. So if the energy of the sun is that provocation, what are we being provoked about? What's provoking you? Who's provoking you? Thinking about looking, you know, getting deeper into that. And then once you know what it is that's provoking you, or how you're being provoked, or who's doing the provoking, what does that mean for me? You know, and the provocation here is very low in the body. It's definitely on that center that holds you to the earth, that grounds you, that impulse energy that's ready to jump out. And, you know, part of that gate 39 provocation is part of your spiritual journey. When I do coaching with people, there's a module on your spiritual journey. And what you see is there's an actual circuit in your human design called the mystic circuit that takes you from the journey of I'm on my way to enlightenment, I'm asking big questions, and then it begins then from gate 39 to push you through the mystical circuit, right? To take you on that mystical journey, asking, probing, going deeper, provoking yourself, if not being provoked by other circumstances or people, to move through up toward the emotional center, over then to the ego center, and up to the identity center, and ultimately up to the throat center for expression. It's your hero's journey. So the sun is sitting at the beginning of our hero's journey. What does that mean for you? What, you know, you all have that. You all have all of the human design, whether it's defined or open or, hanging, or, as a channel. You have all of the human design. So we're all being provoked, and we're all finding the right cause to hold our fight to. And, it's an interesting time, right? What are we fighting for, right? What is the fight about? Is it worth staying the course? Is it worth fighting for? So those are the questions we'll have to be asking ourselves. Let's see. I'm going to go back here a little bit. Diane says, absorbing this slowly. Thank you. You're welcome. And slowly is probably the best way to absorb. Integrating. Camille, 39 and 55 are one of my few that are not open. So you already have this energy defined. You are already resonating with this energy. You are already emotionally provoked. And awesome, you probably do emotional provoking for other people as well. Let's see, Natasha, good morning. And Colleen, when we work through the grief and come to something on the other side of it, it is like giving birth to a part of us that was being rebirthed, transferred. There's no timeline with grief I have lived and witnessed. I'm not sure what you mean there, Natasha, but I know how it is when you're trying to type words and get a feeling or a thought across. It's sometimes more difficult. Camille, 38 is filled with personality, opened at 28, right? So you have a hanging 38 is how we would say that. And by birth. So on the opposite side, gate 28, someone with gate 28 might be someone that attracts you, where maybe, their wound is about purposelessness. Why am I in this world? And you're maybe even showing them the right things to fight for, or they cause you to question, what am I fighting for? And what's it all worth? And is it worth it? So that can be difficult energy. And it's interesting energy, because a lot of millennials came with that channel defined, and or came with that gate defined even. And, it's a generation of people, young people, who are questioning, what is this all about? What is this even worth it? Is this world worth saving? Is this life worth living? That is a struggle that they have. So gate 28 brings that. And you may be in a position then, Camille, with gate 38, to show them what's right for fighting. What's worth fighting for? Willa, good morning to you. Kathy Miller, good morning to you. Good. Everybody seemingly having a good week so far, or, a few people with challenges, but most people are saying they had a good weekend. All right. That's pretty much it for me this morning. Let's do some cards for the week and see what's supporting us in the journey as we move through this week. You guys, my tattoo is just itching so bad. I just want to scratch at it. I woke myself up in the middle of the night scratching at it. I'm sure that's healing, but it tickles, it itches. And if fabric touches it, it feels like, I love this card. So in the Wisdom of the Oracle, we pulled card 27, Exchanging Gifts, right? Lovely, lovely card. We haven't had this one in a while. When we first were doing this deck, this is a card we got quite a bit. And I'm going to pull us an animal card as well. We might as well have an animal to help us. So I got to tell you guys something fun last night. I was sitting outside. It was probably 10-ish. I don't know. It was 10, between 10 and 10:30. And it had been a warm day yesterday, so it wasn't too bad outside. And it was dusk, right? It's still light, really late here. And so I could still see, but it's getting, twilight. So it's harder to see. And movement caught my eye. And my cat was sitting on the steps. I was sitting right here, the cat's sitting right here. And so I know it's not my cat. So I'm looking out there and I can't quite see what it was. And then it turned and looked at me and I saw the little bandit face. It was a raccoon. And he's walking along the property edge there, right just on the edge of all the trees and plants that are in my neighbor's yard. And then he stopped and he looked and he raises up. They raise up, I guess, on their back feet. And he was like scenting the air, like he knew I was there. He probably saw me. He probably smelled me, but he also smelled my cat. And my cat was like, arr. And then he wandered on off. It was great just to sit there with, you know, raccoons are out there, but because they're nocturnal, you just don't normally see them. So to get to see one was kind of nice. I saw one day because the dog next door behind me, he had, or she, the dog had treed one. And I went over there to look in the tree to see why the dog was barking. And there's this little raccoon face looking at me, which was kind of cute. Okay, so I got swan spirit for us for the week. And it says, time for a deep dive. Isn't she gorgeous? This is card number 60 with a six. The other one was a 27, which is a nine. So let's look at the books first. Okay, so Wisdom of the Oracle card number 27 is exchanging gifts, and it was right side up. The essential meaning is the law of giving and receiving, currency, trade-offs, weighting costs, and determining value. So the message is you're entering into a productive and enriching time when all manner of opportunities are being offered to you. You have everything you need to seize them, yet in order to honor them, there we go. In order to honor them, you must put in the time, exchange your experience and skills, and commit heart and soul to what you're choosing to pursue. You can do it. You have what it takes to be successful if you align with the law of giving and receiving. You must engage in a dance of give and take, push and pull, doing and being. If you let fear guide your choices, you could deplete yourself or create an imbalance. This is not a time of just do. Use your currency wisely and be mindful of the value others bring to your life. Love it. Let's see what Swan Spirit has to say. I don't think we've ever pulled this card, but she is gorgeous. Lovely pink flowers and her swan body. I'm lucky in the part of the world I live in. In the winter, we have the trumpeter swans that return here every year. And so we get to see them. I see them all the time, but they've gone now to from whence they came. And they'll be back October, November, somewhere around there. So Swan says, time for a deep dive. With their graceful long necks, swans are able to reach into the depths. When Swan Spirit arrives, you are called to take a deep dive beyond what is easily available on the surface. You may think you know what is best for you now, but take the plunge into the depths of your awareness, for there is knowledge you are not aware of and great treasure to discover. Deeper understanding awaits you, and a perspective that comes from greater self-knowledge is what you need right now to better understand a situation or relationship. As you come to know yourself more intimately, so too will you come to better know others. So Swan Spirit asks you to go beyond the surface of what is happening between you and others and resist the temptation to judge by superficial appearances. Know there is much deeper potential for loving connections, forgiveness, and mutual understanding. Choose to dive deep into your why. Asking the deeper questions of yourself, you are led by the grace of Swan Spirit. Wow, I think that's quite in keeping with the Pleiadian Earth energy today of eight listening, right? Up the opportunity to hear the deeper, quieter voice by being still and tuning into a deeper place, deeper knowledge. Diane says, I get that. Hang tight for this wild ride. Natasha says, the moon is calling. And she said, oh, I get it. She says, yes, sorry, very out there this morning, having a hard time getting back to my body. Too much cancer in my chart, and I'm out in the universe flying around. Love it. Camille says, I love raccoons. Jacqueline says, what did you get a tattoo of? A dragonfly. I have a dragonfly on my right wrist, and which is a representation of the gait 55 in human design, I mean, in the gene keys, which is why I chose dragonfly. But also, it's card number 22 in the same animal spirit deck. So there's these master numbers that seem to fly around with dragonfly. So I'm accessing that. And next comes the hummingbird on my other wrist. Okay, I think that's it. I wish all of you a good day. Take some time, do some internal work, get prepared for tomorrow's new moon, and be ready to surge ahead in the direction of what you love, right? In the direction of desire. That's where the world is taking us, or that's where these moons and this energy, the eclipse, is taking us. So be prepared. All right, everybody, take care. Have a great day. I will see you tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. right here. All right, bye for now.